So, Liz.
Zach, what is happening to me?
I'm transforming.
Oh, my God. Liz, is this just a setup for another stupid thing that you've done?
Liz, like a butterfly emerging from a chrysalis, I have reached a new point of metamorphosis. Can I tell you more?
I guess you're going to have to.
I'm so glad you're invested in this. So I was on parental leave for a very long time, and so many things left my body. So many things left my body during that period.
Yeah. That's real.
My perfect complexion, my outfits that were milkless. I didn't realize that I was signing up for
constant milk stains
just
everywhere.
Stain city.
And formula is stains.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it just kind of looks like. It just kind of looks like I have stains all over my shoulders, which makes it look like I have a much more exciting personal life than I do.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I have gained in this transformation that I have found in the birdhouse of my soul
is a human baby.
I guess so. I wasn't really thinking about it.
I wasn't thinking about her. You also gained the ability to go, as the father of a daughter.
No, well, that's not how I say it. I say, I'm a father. How dare you?
As the father of a daughter, I feel like I can weigh in on any issue that concerns women.
I did immediately change my Twitter bio
to father of a daughter.
Christian father.
Christian. Veteran,
father
of a daughter.
Not then, a veteran.
And then all of a sudden you started like then just sending me hate mail on Instagram. I've gotten a lot of that this week.
Have you?
Yeah. Because I had a reel go, not viral, just get really popular.
Big in Iowa.
You know what they say? Iowa rich, Chicago poor. Iowa viral is Chicago flop.
My tweets are, my TikToks are an Iowa 10. Actually,
and an LA 2. Okay, so what did you gain besides a whole human?
I'm so glad you asked. I was so invested in my journey. I developed new small talk like you wouldn't believe. Oh. Elizabeth, I've learned that I don't actually have to have anything interesting
to say.
You don't
have to have a personality.
I can just show pictures of my child to strangers, and that greases the wheels of progress.
Yeah.
This is a superpower.
No, I know.
I don't think I had to have a child.
You just had to fake.
I think
I kidnapped a baby. Is that what you're saying?
In retrospect, and hear me out. I think if you're listening to this podcast and you don't have an immediate baby
that's good.
That is good. We love that for you. Just go get some pictures from the internet and start saying, "Have you seen this?" You don't got to say it's yours. Just say like, "Have you seen this baby?"
My new bit now is I'm going to comment AI slop under every single person's baby pictures. And I know so many people who've had babies in the past year, and I am going to just go AI slop.
Fake news.
Fake baby, fake news. No, but like a baby
is... You're
going to
neg your friends' children pictures.
I am negging my friends' children's baby pictures because I was realizing because everybody's doing that like 2016 flashback thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like even 10 years ago, my kids were still older than your kid. Like I am so far into the parenting journey.
You are true to this, not new to this.
I am true to this, not new to this. But I will say... Yes, I have used my babies as a shield in journalism so many times, like as a way
they
to
just
like,
absorb so much like, pepper spray. It's crazy.
Like
how
human
they just...
baby shields like the Iowa Republicans are yelling at me. So I hold up my blonde haired, blue eyed daughter and I'm like, look, I made an Aryan.
I'm one of you.
Leave me alone.
I'm one of you. Yeah.
And then she gives him the finger, and I'm like, not now.
Not
sweetie.
Now. Wait. We got to be in the car and leaving.
Yeah, she...
Before you put on your Antifa onesie.
She does not consent to that. But I will say, like, especially as a mother, it's easy to use your kids to just be like, oh, I'm just a mom. Like, I'm just a mom as like a way to like go under the radar. However, it comes back to you as a woman in that people don't take you seriously.
Mm.
Like I had a Huffington Post journalist emailed me this week to be like, can you tell me how, as a mother, you feel compelled to post about Minneapolis. And I was like, I'm a journalist. I went there for journalism. That's why I'm posting about it. She's like, as a mother. And you're like, it, like, my job is in my bio. I'm a serious person. I do this professionally. And so, like, it goes both ways, right? Where you can kind of use it to, like, slip in under the radar. And I definitely have. I think saying that I'm just a Midwestern mom was the reason I got to interview Tucker Carlson one time for that profile that I wrote of him in 2017, 2018.
Did you lead with?
I did. I called when I got through to the PR person. Well, I had his email. I had gotten his email through sources, and I sent him an email. I was just like, I'm writing for Columbia Journalism Review, and I'm just a mom in the Midwest trying to understand everything that's going on.
You started with, I am just a girl.
And when the PR person called me, she ended up calling me randomly on the day when I was chaperoning a field trip for my daughter to a farm, like a local hobby farm. Mm-hmm. And so I took the call and I was like, we're just out on a school trip on a farm. And it was perfect, but
that,
like,
pretty good.
It made me seem toothless.
I wish I had planned that
because that would have been even more clever. But no, it just ended up happening. But then the other thing happens too, where people refuse to take you seriously because you're a mother.
Fascinating.
You know, and I think that is right. Like, that's the environment we've always lived in. Mm-hmm. So it works for you as a man because you can be like, you take me seriously, and also now I have a child. And actually, statistically, men, when they have babies, they end up getting, like, paid more, and women have, like, the baby penalty where they start getting paid less or, like, promoted less. So what I'm pointing out,
I'm gonna have to get with my boss. I didn't realize a pay raise was coming my way.
Well, you're more likely to get pay raises because
more likely.
In the
I don't like
people's
that.
Minds. They're like, oh, he's a father. Whereas, I'm a
provider.
Moms, they're all like, oh, she's a mother. That means she's gonna flake out. So we're not gonna. Yeah, there's bodies of study. Eve Rodsky, read it.
Hello and welcome to the Dingus of the Week, a weekly show where we stare down the long void of America's future and see who blinks first. I'm Zachary Oren Smith. I write about politics for Iowa Starting Line, and I'm here with Liz Lenz, the author of the Dingus of the Week newsletter. This podcast is the audio second course to the newsletter's visual feast. Sign up at its new home on Patreon. That's patreon.com/LizLenz. Wherever you listen, you can help support the show by doing all of the following. Like and subscribe to our YouTube. Rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Why not both? Share this episode in a group chat near you. And of course, become a patron of the Dingus Arts on patreon.com/LYZLENZ. Have a dingus of your own. Send us a voicemail at memo.fm/dingus. Leave a voicemail and it might just make it to this very show. You might even hear some of them later this hour. Now, Liz, who is the dingus of the week?
Zach, what would you sacrifice to go viral? Like, what's your limit?
Now that I have my firstborn...
I would give her up immediately.
Shipped down the Nile in a reed basket or no. Very little, actually. Famously, folks that go viral don't stay that way. Yes. And it ends up going badly for them.
Actually, that's so funny because the other day I was looking up, like, what happened to Hawk to a girl? And
well, there was the Bitcoin that she tried to mint, a scam.
And I think she's still facing legal troubles from that. I've gone viral a couple of times, and it's always like, it's never lasted. It's not like Mark Zuckerberg shows up to your house and hands you a top hat and the keys to the internet.
Here's your monocle.
Right. Like, it just kind of ends up being like a weird, horrible situation. And then you get like a lot of hate and or like the condescension. But like.
That's mostly from me, though.
That's mostly from Zach. But like, Nick Shirley is a YouTuber. A white man in America, the biggest terrorist in America, And he went viral in 2025 because he went to these Somali daycares and he knocked on the doors and, you know, was like doing these videos. And then when they wouldn't let him in, he was like, look, see, there's fraud. Nobody is here because they won't let me in. And so he's alleging that there's all these frauds happening at these Somali daycares, specifically picking on, you know, daycares where there are Black people. So it's really a Timu Ronald Reagan here, right? Like, he's really just like, he's like, what if welfare queen, but we make it dumber and less back, well, not even less factually based, because welfare queen was like completely a myth. And so, but this video goes viral and, you know, Republicans have used it now to justify a lot of what is now happening in Minneapolis. And so Nick Shirley, for squirrely these reasons,
Squirrely Shirley
is our dingus of the week. But like, we have to be clear, because this keeps getting lost in the conversation, is that like his viral videos are based on nothing. Like, there was fraud at some daycares, not Somali daycares specifically, but at some daycares undercover, like revealed in 2019. And then, you know, Minnesota, like, investigators found this, they passed some laws, they held some people accountable. And fraud is like specifically you're charging the government for kids who are not in your daycare.
Right. Misusing that, government funds.
Well, that's, I mean, that's the definition of fraud that happens with the daycares.
Totally.
Like, there can be accidental overpayments or underpayments, like the, and so all of that happened in 2019, but then in 2025 Shirley was like, now it's like, you know, this whole thing. And so now when you talk about like, hey, ICE is violently kidnapping people in American citizens, and I just want to say real quick, it doesn't matter if they're immigrants or citizens. They shouldn't be violently kidnapped off the streets.
They should
Hot
be given
take.
Due process matters.
Yeah, yeah, like really due process, like
un-American take these days.
Well, hate to sound like a founding father, but have we considered like habeas corpus? Like,
my my Federalist papers are falling out of my pocket.
Well,
sorry,
you know, like, I'll start parting my hair down the middle and start looking like George Washington.
We should get you a powdered wig. That'd be a fun costume. Should.
My daughter is always trying to get me to part my hair down the middle, and so is my hairstylist. My hairstylist, shout out to Anna, who's probably watching this clip wondering how I styled my hair that day. She's always like, wow, you're always styling your bangs funny. Anyway,
it is pretty pretty funny looking.
Shout out Anna, who's constantly judging me, but too bad I have more TikTok followers than her now.
Eat shit,
Anna. But be nice, because you're the reason I have it.
Literally the worst person you could possibly go after is your stylist. That's the person with the most power over like your immediate situation.
And she's good too. Like, she's hot and good. But the we were talking about fraud in Minnesota.
That's right.
You know, so then when you say like, hey, I shouldn't be doing these things, or, you know, shooting people in the face, then everybody's like, but what about the fraud? As if the two were equivalent. You know, but this fraud, quote unquote, scandal, this made up scandal is so bad that it's been, you know, like, Walls has been dealing with tons of death threats. Trump and Vance have been feeding this fake news, because, you know, something beautiful about America is that men who are running the country have not been stopped by something called facts or truth.
I mean, never stopped me.
That's, they're all just like, Not in this economy, you know, fake money, fake news.
Yeah.
So it's getting really, really bad, but the two are not equivalent.
That's
like,
right.
Even if there was rampant fraud in the daycare system in Minnesota, that wouldn't justify going in and federally occupying a city. And what's happening in Minnesota is so, so awful. It's, you know, they're sending in more ICE agents, more Customs and Border Patrol agents than they've sent into almost any city.
Thousands of agents, 1,000 more in the last, based on the last of Trump's orders.
It's bad news. I've been a real upper this week. Like,
Well, I mean, you were in on the streets of Minneapolis covering this, yeah. Right? Do you want to talk a little bit about that trip?
Yeah. So I am a journalist by trade, as we've talked about, and so are you. And I am also working on a book that is about the Midwest and politics and community. And so I had been planning on going to Minnesota for a long time, and then this happened, and I was like, okay, well, I better go now. And I'll be back again in a couple of weeks. But like, I went out and was talking to activists and organizers on the ground who are, you know, who've seen ICE agents take teachers, you know, who've seen ICE agents take parents from their kids in front of a school, in front of a school bus. And these organizers are, you know, organizing meal trains. They're doing formula drop-offs for families who are too afraid to leave their homes. And I was, you know, walking around the neighborhood where Renee Nicole Good was murdered. Mm-hmm. And right about the time there was a big protest. And there were families in their homes that they had the windows like all covered up with cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they had like one window open and they had a couple kids leaning out the window and the mom, and they were Hispanic, and they were like, thank you so much for protesting. You know, this really means a lot. And the kids were waving and saying thank you. And then, you know, and then I go talk to an organizer whose, you know, front porch is just like filled with diapers. And that's what she's going to do that day is go to apartment complexes and give diapers. So it's like, it's very beautiful to see the way the community is showing up for each other, but it's also really hard to see that kind of violence happening. And it's impacting the whole city. This is a federally occupied city.
That's right.
Donald Trump has sent in troops, and he is militarizing the government against the people, against our democratically elected processes. And that's happening because George Floyd happened in Minneapolis. Right. It's happening because Tim Walz, you know, took punches against Trump. It's happening because Ilhan Omar is, you know, popular and happens to be Muslim and a Black woman and is the target of so much racism.
Right.
And continues to be. And all of this is happening. Melissa Hortman, State Senator Melissa Hortman, who was murdered. It happened there. And so all of this is a way of attacking Minnesota. So it's just, you know, you go there and, you know, I was talking, my brother lives there. My niece and nephew live there. Mm-hmm. And my little nephew was just like, I'm making the Donald Trump Protection League, where I protect people against Donald Trump. And
it's got to be so hard for children.
They're scared.
Yeah.
They're so scared. I was talking to a man. He was just like, I had to hold my daughter last night. And he's a Black man. Mm. He's a Somali immigrant. And he was like, my daughter is so scared to go to school. And like, that is just the violence that's happening. And she's right to be scared, right? And, you know, and daycares can't open because people can't go to work because, you know, who staffs a daycare?
Right.
Immigrants,
right?
Right? Like, and restaurants are closed or have their doors locked because they're afraid of ICE agents. And again, I want to contrast this with like the ways people in Minnesota are showing up for each other. It's right. Beautiful and wonderful. And is completely ongoing, but it's also really hard to see the fear, the pain, the anger. People get hauled away. I was walking the dog and in North Minneapolis, and there was a construction site up like ahead of us. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, I was just taking a break from reporting and walking the dog. And then I see these like Black SUVs pull up to the construction site. And then I started hearing whistles. And by the time I got there, ICE agents were driving away.
Right.
And I was like, it was just the violence that happens. And, you know, I think there is something too. There is the violence happening to Black and brown families. Native Americans are getting called away in these raids. Like, talk about the original American. And but the other thing I think that's happening too is like the moral injury to our country. You know, that like what the moral injury of seeing this happen and not being able to stop it. The moral injury of you know, of watching your friends and neighbors then be silently complicit in this. Like, that is violence too.
I'm more in than the cornball, like, brainworms that of watching that video and then running it through your like, kind of ideological processor and deciding that actually we're fine with summary execution in the middle of an American street.
And it's not just Republicans doing this.
Absolutely not.
I am not going to name this person, but I have a dear friend who is, I have a lot of dear friends who are journalists in Minneapolis, but I had coffee with one specific one who is so talented, as a person we both respect, and was just venting about how they are doing the work. Shout out to Minnesota Public Radio. Mm-hmm. And there are other places coming in and reporting stories like, well, we don't know, you know, if Renee Good was accelerating, like doing that kind of like
creating excuse after excuse
for the murder of a woman in broad daylight by an ICE agent. And you know, and it's like, we saw the video. NPR had people on the ground because they live in the neighborhood, because it's a that's why local journalism is necessary, right? And they had people on the ground. They were the first people to get the footage and the interviews. They know what happened. And then you have these outside national mm-hmm. news outlets coming in and being like, well, who's to say? The cops say this. It's like, your job is to say what happened, not say what the cops say. And it's so frustrating because the stakes are so high. And we've seen this happen over and over and over again, mm-hmm. where the things we see with our eyes, we then get gaslit in the media, and then it gives people a vehicle to drive their little racism through our country.
That's right. Well, and you haven't, like, you add to this that this is an instance where we had very clear video.
Yes.
On, right? Multiple angles. We had Jonathan Ross is
Jonathan
the name?
Jonathan Ross.
Not only do we have Jonathan Ross, who changed his phone hand so that he could pull out his handgun, right?
Yes.
Not only do we have his footage, but we had at least two onlookers, maybe more. This is one of the documented instances. This is when we've had plenty of video, right? Can you imagine how many times they've gaslit us and there's been just like less information available that we can see with our eyes?
Absolutely.
That they're trying to gaslight us on this specific instance feels like it is a horse of a different color.
Well, and then, you know, and then it's like, well, she was part of...
She was Antifa, right?
Like, right. She was part of a terrorist organization. I literally had somebody who has a good heart, doesn't pay attention to the news. The other day, I was out and about running errands. It's a small town.
You got to stop talking to folks when you're running errands.
And she was asking me, because she knows that this is my job. And she was like, can you explain why they're calling her a terrorist?
Right.
She's like, because I keep hearing this, I keep reading it. And this is an intelligent person who's not like addicted to their phone, doesn't follow the news, but like an intelligent, well-meaning Democratic voter who was like, why did they keep calling her a terrorist? And I was like, well, she was part of a group that was following ICE vehicles and keeping track of them, which is legal.
Absolutely.
It is Absolutely. Not terrorism to monitor what
an occupying army, a paramilitary
or the police.
Group.
Like, you are allowed to record the police.
Right.
You are allowed to know what the cops are doing in your neighborhood. You are allowed to know what ICE is doing in the neighborhood. It was, you know, she's like, yes, she was part of this group. You know, they call them rapid response groups. They track and tail ICE vehicles. And again, totally fine, totally normal.
That's right.
A tactic that has been used in LA, Chicago, San Francisco. And you know, but because of that, that's why they're like, oh, she was a terrorist. And I think it just proves that it doesn't matter. And this lesson has been proven over and over again for the people listening who are like, we know, I know, but it's worth learning over and over again that you can do everything right and still get murdered in broad daylight, and they will still look at you and tell you it's your fault.
Amen. And, you know, there are many excuses. Trump didn't need an excuse to send an occupying army.
He was going to do it anyway.
But
Nick Shirley's or no.
Tell me yes. about Nick Shirley.
Oh, yes.
It's hard to unpack any of this and not be furious with like the gestalt of it. Right. Yeah.
So Nick Shirley, he made these videos and that's being used to justify a lot of the violence. And but I do think the crazy thing about Nick Shirley is that he is so stupid.
Uniquely
stupid. Like, this is what like Hannah Arendt meant by the banality of evil. Like, this is just like, these are not the smartest people in our country, but like they become like the avatars of our hate just because they're like, you know, I don't know, white men who wear a tie every once in a while. And, you know, his allegations are like a catnip for a new generation of John Birchers, right? Like, and, but this week he really showed off his butt. Like, and also like Nick Shirley is like, oh, I'm viral now. I'm like a cause celeb of the conservatives. He's selling these sweatshirts that say, wait, let me pull it up. They say Quality Learning Center, 1-800 fraud, but like learning is misspelled.
Yeah, so like it's the kind sign of like a center.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's supposed to be like a ha 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 ha, I'm smarter than these daycares, making fun of people who are not learning. But then he was on a podcast today with Andrew Callahan, another YouTuber.
Yep.
YouTube on YouTube violence. We love to see it.
I thought this was super interesting because like you've been seeing Squirrely Shirley on a bunch. He's been doing new spots for major networks. He's been doing spots with minor league ass networks.
How do I ride this interview train? How do I become so famous?
How do I get more of these sweatshirts? How do I sell more sweatshirts?
He was making videos for years. Like he was making videos for years as like a teen. Mm-hmm. And then he took a break to go on a mission. He's LDS, went a break to go on a mission, came back. And then all his videos were like super political. He like was at January 6th.
Yeah, he
a real cool guy.
He was. I mean, spent a bunch of time watching his video footage. I hopped in
for research.
I hopped in the alt-right pipeline just for fun, just for a joyride. And one of them, so he makes this video where he goes to Kyiv, Ukraine, in the middle of Russian invasion, right? And begins filming all of these like neighborhood streets where there are admittedly very nice cars on these private streets. The caption of these videos, right, are like $175 billion for Ukraine, right? All for a fake, with the allegation being that this is a fake war. Look at how these quiet suburban streets in Kyiv. Meanwhile, like you have rockets on video flying into like a nearby neighborhoods, right? Right,
because Ukrainians have nice cars, we shouldn't help them out.
Because a private citizen has a car, their sovereignty doesn't matter. Their lives don't matter.
I don't really have that nice of a car, so I could use some help.
Well, and then he proceeds to go. This is like prior. No. You see the pattern.
So
you see the pattern for this because he was doing spots about this Kyiv video. The very next week, talking about how his family is being attacked, that he's actually the victim.
Yes.
After like trumping up these like allegations of fake invasions on behalf, like joining the Russian propaganda force.
He's like I was at January 6th. I'm on the side of Russians in the war against Ukraine, but people are attacking me because I am the victim. How dare you attack me, somebody who is perpetuating violence against not just Black and brown people in my own country, but people in other countries too. How dare you? Please, I am but a baby. I am a victim. And leave my parents alone. It's like, sir, you leave Ukraine alone.
And why stop by supporting one authoritarian? Yes. Why can't you be in a propagandist du jour of every international authoritarian? He goes, there's this video that's been circulating of him in a prison in El Salvador. He's in front of a hangar of prisoners, right? Prisoners who are in front of a sewing machine, sewing clothing on behalf of the prison. He did an advertisement for Bukele, saying how good this, what is like inmate labor? What is like enslaved labor?
It's enslaved labor.
Which, by the way, we allow in the United States. Don't get us started.
Do you remember in 2020 where everybody was like, oh, these masks were made by prisoners. Isn't that so great? And I was like, what in the holy neoliberal hell are we doing?
And I hope
I still wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat remembering that. Just, it's not like it's gone away, but it's just like, what the hell are we doing, guys?
We know enough issues with just how people get into the carceral system in the United States. You add on top of that how people get into Bukele's. It's such idiotic behavior, man. It's just so dumb. It's so dumb. It's so guileless dumb. I couldn't get over it.
It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like murdering somebody and then claiming to be the victim because people are mad at you for murder.
You mentioned this Andrew Callahan. So Andrew Callahan, yes. YouTuber from Channel 5. Noted YouTuber, I would say.
I guess, sure. All of these YouTubers have more followers than me, so I'm not going to be throwing stones.
Let me say why I think this is interesting. There's so many of them. Let me say why I think this interview is particularly interesting. Not just for the content of it, which is, but I like it is very, like, Andrew Callahan in many internet circles has, like, a lot of clout. Like, he's a very beloved figure. And his show's been around, or not his show, but like his work has been around for a while in this space. And like there's some part of Nick Shirley in that interview, if you watch it, like he kind of looks up to Andrew Callahan and he's kind of hyped to be on Channel 5. There's this way that it, like he kind of gets like suckered into these dumb answers by Andrew Callahan. But it's worth watching. I think it's a great interview.
It is worth watching. I did watch it, but I don't actually, this is not a knock on Andrew Callahan, but the question he gives to Shirley that Shirley completely bungles is not a trick question.
Absolutely not.
He says, name three benevolent billionaires. The correct answer is if you're a billionaire, you are not benevolent.
A benevolent. Yeah, we can play that interaction right here.
Who do you think are the three most benevolent billionaires?
What do you mean by the word benevolent?
Just well-intentioned, positive billionaires who you think are creating, you know, net positive societal progress.
Trump, our president, I think he's a good one. I think Elon Musk, I think what he's doing is creating innovation. He provides lots of jobs to people. I think that's a good one. And then the third one, I'd have to think about that.
What do you mean by the word benevolent?
Which, like, here's the deal. I in general,
it looks like he's just like, what? Why are you using such a big word on me, a little guy?
The asinine take that folks, you shouldn't be making fun of this guy for mispronouncing this word. Shut the fuck up.
He's currently trying to make money off the fact that he thinks Somali daycares are stupid and fraud-ridden and is selling a misspelled sweatshirt to make money. Like, this man thinks he's better than everyone, and then he goes on a podcast and in answer to one of the easiest layup questions of all time, he goes, what? He's like, what do you mean by
the word benevolent?
You're like, oh God, we're not, our country is not being screwed up by like smart, evil geniuses. It's just chud in a tie.
Daddy's fancy boy styled as internationalist propagandist du jour is not that is not the leadership y'all should be looking for.
It's not even original racism. Like I said, like this is like Timu the Gipper. Like, we are not bringing our best and brightest. Maybe, Zach, the real fraud was the white men we listened to along the way.
And I mean, it's definitely cuts against my cultural interests, but like, guys, this is, we're not even sending our best mediocre white men. Like we need to get, let's get back into the dugout and find a better pick. Can we get this guy like a haircut? Can we get this guy?
More and more people are not reading books. Women are reading books. Men are reading DraftKings.
You said draft?
What's a draft?
You said a draft?
What's a draft?
Is that the long-necked animal? This fucking idiot.
He's so stupid. I think it just underscores what a stupid, violent time we live in. And I think we're going to look back on this. And I remember this from the first Trump administration when you'd be like, these are just idiots. And there are all these like viral, like, opinion people who are like, no, you got to think of it. It's like the 3D chess. Like they're doing this to distract you from the thing. And you're like, no, it's just fucking idiots who are being evil, doing whatever they want. There's no 3D chess. There's no subtext. It's all text. They're saying the quiet part out loud. It was never quiet. From the day Donald Trump walked down that escalator and called Hispanic men rapists, there was no subtext. It's been all text. And then people want to be like, because, and here's why.
Boy.
Nobody wants to believe that they've been conned by idiots.
Totally. Totally. And you bought in. You bought stock in idiot.
Because, and it idiot. Still happens, and I'll say this when in my writing, in my newsletter, I'm like, if Democratic elected leaders had done half of what Trump had done,
right,
we wouldn't have lost.
Amen.
Because, I'm not saying he does good work, but he gets it done. He says what he's going to do. He does it. And in the meanwhile, the pundits are all like, well, he's saying that, but he doesn't really mean it. And then he goes and he's going to take over Greenland.
Yeah.
Right. Like this is just like a matter of time. And people are like, oh, he's just playing. And
I got French in-laws that are worried about being mobilized right now.
Yes.
There's genuine concern in other countries about the extent to which do we have to defend this Danish landholding? Like, are we?
I am so concerned. My brother's in the army. He's getting deployed in a couple of months. Where's he going to go? I don't know. This is going to be
my deployment
stupid.
In Greenland. What the fuck?
Is he going to have to fight your relatives? But that's the thing. But like there is a pundit class that has to try to make it more complicated than it is because it's too hard to admit that it is just really the stupidest, most banal, evil people running the world. And it's also a systematic problem because stupid people don't get here, through cleverness. They get here because the system favors white supremacy.
That's right.
And so it is so much easier to call a person evil and to blame everything on them rather than looking at that entire system of how they're created. Donald Trump goes, it doesn't matter. There is a whole system that supported him, that created him, and not just Republican politicians, but the press. Mm-hmm. That soft-pedaled stuff like this.
That's right.
Margaret Sullivan, Donald the Dove, Hillary the Hawk, right? Like, we're talking like some of our faves here are complicit in the soft-pedaling of this, like, virulent white nationalism and misogyny that we're seeing play out today. And everyone's like, I just don't understand how this could happen. It's been happening for years. You just weren't forced to see it.
On my mind is that porch full of boxes of diapers.
Yes,
and
yes.
The reality that the HHS has, the Trump administration has imposed a freeze on federal child care and family subsidies through the Child Care Development Fund. They're freezing temporary assistance for needy family funds for Minnesota.
Yes.
If you want to talk about trying to stop pain, to stop suffering in our neighborhoods, in our streets, these are part of the programs that helps. Republicans always want to talk to me about child care and how we're places like Iowa, we're in a child care desert. That extends across the country. There are not enough slots. They're too expensive. Families can't afford it. And the idea that you're going to claw back money, despite what we've talked about with the lack of evidence of real fraud, right?
Yes.
Despite the evidence that despite the obvious, what we all see, right, which is just a strong man extorting, creating additional pain for families that just don't need it, families that don't already are dealing with too much. It's a failure.
And the thing that is, I think, the reality on the ground is who is saving us. We are saving us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was there, it's hard for me to talk super specifically about what I saw because I'm saving some of it for the book. And some of it I'm not saying because the activists asked me not to, you know, to protect their on the ground organizing. But I went to a meeting and I heard a lot of frustration with politicians where they were like, yeah, sure. Jacob Frey is like saying these things, but like, what's he actually doing? Sure, Walls is saying these things, but what are they actually doing? And the reality is the people who are doing the things on the ground are moms, are women, you know, are queer people. I went to a lot of like, you know, food delivery places. By and large, it is women, and it is women who are now juggling this because their schools are shutting down. Because they're, you know, when I went out to Minneapolis, the schools had shut down for a day. And because of the ICE raids, because of the violence, because ICE was taking violence to the schools. And so, you know, so like you're dealing with these women have jobs. They have children. They have children who are not in schools. They have daycares that are closing because workers are too afraid to come, or just closing in general because there's no money because we don't fund daycare. And childcare in this country, but they're the ones showing up. They're the ones tailing ICE. They're the ones sitting in the Somali coffee shop in the front window, watching and waiting for ICE to come. And then you know whose body is in between the ICE agent and the owner of the store? That woman. You know, she's the one. And God bless, you know, call your manager kind of energy. That's what we need. But I think this keeps getting downplayed. And, you know, in Fox News is like the Antifa wine moms, which is like, it's hilarious. Kind of funny. And that's the sweatshirt I want to see in the world. And it's great. And it's also true.
Yeah.
But like, it's not unique to this time. The community organizing has always been built on the back of women. And we are always the ones who are always going to save us. And you can argue, sure, there's like limits to political power, blah, blah, blah. I have no patience for that right now. Because I'll tell you, if you're a politician, your front porch should be filled with diapers right now. And you should be delivering those too. And there are some. There are some. But it's like it's the state level, you know, senators and House members who are doing a lot of that work too. And I understand a lot of that has to happen quietly. But still, we are the ones who are going to save us from this.
A nice glass of Chardonnay tastes so much better when drunk from a balaclava.
Chardonnay, no way. ICE is going into my neighborhood.
Yeah, the only ICE I want is in that glass.
Antifa. The Pinot, no ICE. The Zinfandel infidels.
Oh, that's really good. Sorry.
The get your Shiraz out of my city.
Liz, with that, let's take a break. So Liz.
So Zach, I hear, despite me constantly making fun of your inability to play the games correctly, you have a game for me.
It's the comeback dingus. Dingus says what? It's my game. I made it, not you.
Dingus says what?
This is going to be the best one yet. I got ripped apart last time by you and Taylor K. Phillips.
Say her name.
The two of you ruined me about my ability to play games. So guess what?
Or just come up with games.
Guess what? I have a game for you, Liz. Do you want to play?
I want to play your stupid game.
My stupid little game. So, like I said earlier, I watched so much of Squirrely Shirley's videos. Like, I spent a frankly irresponsible amount of work time watching Squirrely Shirley videos.
That rodent homo sapien cross.
And, like, I want to say the boy has range when it comes to like
he was trying to go viral at all costs.
The boy
is like, who can I throw under the bus to go viral? Literally,
he's throwing them under the bus and he's doing a TikTok dance over their bodies. I mean, he loves it. So I've prepared three headlines from his videos, and you're gonna guess which of the two are real and which one isn't real. I'm gonna tell you, it's not easy.
Because
they're all really fucking great. They're all insane. The first is Squirrely Shirley took a trip to a small West Coast town where he found that the city was giving homeless people $50,000 to purchase tiny houses. He then proceeds to overnight with the tiny in one of the tiny houses.
What?
You said it sounds nice.
Yeah, sounds nice.
A city gave them housing.
A city gave people unhoused people housing. Actually, studies show, big ProPublica research show, give an unhoused person a house, their mental health gets better. They get a job.
Weird that a home is the cure to homelessness. It's
shocking, but that's the way.
Gotta wait for the data to come in on that one.
We gotta see. Okay, so what's the next one?
Next one. Headline, Inside America's Paid Protesting Scam. Squirrely Shirley goes from crowd to crowd. To his credit, he goes to a lot of protests. Yes. He hits the anti-genocide in Gaza protest. He hits the anti-ICE protest. He hits a bunch of protests, and he talks, when he talks to the folks, he talks to people who he, and I quote, suspects are paid protesters, who are potential paid protesters. The number of hedged ways that he uses to talk about these folks, he asks a bunch of them.
It's insane. He even hedges, just lie. Even it's never stopped you before.
These very well could be paid protesters. Let's go talk to them.
The insane thing is I do read a lot of Fox News and Newsmax for my job, which only feeds my mental illness. But they'll be like this suspected paid protester, and it is like a super cute queer girl who was like, "Yeah, I just went to nonviolence training," and they're like, "Nonviolence training? George Soros pay you to go?" And it's like, that's not a trained paid protester. That's somebody who just goes to like a Zoom workshop to find out how not to get murdered by the cops. Oh my God.
So he goes from crowd to crowd.
Yes.
He goes from crowd to crowd. And guess how many paid protesters he found?
72.8.
Big goose egg. None. Not a single one. What he does end up doing is clarifying his his YouTube video with a comment that says, "I believe many of these people do in fact deeply believe what they are, but
they
very well could be protesters."
That actually
fucking
sounds
loser.
Like he has a little bit of shame and allegiance to facts on that one. So what's the third?
The third is headline, illegal immigrants are living for free in this city. In this video, to Squirrely Shirley's credit, my guy has pretty good Spanish language skills.
Well, because he's LDS. They like you're supposed to take languages.
I'm not big on throwing compliments to chuds, to well-established chuds. However, boy's Espanol is pretty good.
That's good.
He goes with his surprisingly good Spanish. He goes from like. There's this one interaction where he's like talking to a mother with a child who are stuck in the labyrinthine immigration system in this in Denver, Colorado. They're in this apartment complex.
Oh, it's Denver.
He confronts them, puts the kid's fucking face on this video. Okay. So you've heard three headlines: tiny homes, paid protesters, free living for illegals in this Denver, Colorado apartment complex. Which one of these sounds sounds the most ridiculous?
Oh, the most ridiculous. I think the one that sounds the most unlike him is the paid protesters one, because it feels like he has some sort of allegiance to the truth there. And that doesn't feel like our boy, Shirley.
That's not our boy.
But also the staying the night in a tiny house, like also doesn't exactly feel like him. Because like what he would just like verbally abuse the unhoused people in the homes. Like why would he stay in the home? Uh-huh. So this is,
and I got too angry about his Spanish, his like very good Spanish language skills.
This is so, yeah, this is,
that's credulous.
This is a tough one, but I am gonna have to go with the first one.
And you, Liz, are the winner. Yay! Of Dingus Says What. Catch us next week for another edition of this very, very good game that I am very, very good at producing. Eat it, Liz.
Dingus Says What. That was
good. You had
good.
Fun. You
that
had
was
fun.
Good.
You had
that
fun.
Was good.
And I only had to watch like 9 hours of this man's content to make it. So that's great.
Perfect.
Liz, I had another. I wanted to end us on kind of a lighter note. We've been it's been a darker episode for good reason.
Yes.
Your following is deep and wide. Your following is deep and wide, and it like much like the Jordan River. I must cross it in order to get to the promised land where beast.
Your preambles to things
are good. They're
are
pretty
insane
good.
Insane to me.
They're really. I'm on one today.
That preamble was so insane. So in our Christmas episode, we talked about Beauty and the Beast, and I told Zach that the beast is hotter than the prince, Prince Adam. And he tried to fight me. And I said, no, this is accepted cultural lore. All women, and I feel all women identifying people, all people who are attracted to men believe that the beast is hotter. And
can you begin the phrase with that? I am every woman and the beast is
I speak for the people when I say the beast is hotter than the prince. And this turned into a thing, and we asked people to call in to tell Zach he was wrong. So let's roll the tape.
This is from Jennifer.
Hi, Liz and Zach. It's Jennifer from North Carolina. I have never felt so seen as when Liz said that the beast is way better looking as a beast than in his human form. I remember watching the end of the movie as a kid and being like, really? This is the happy ending? This is the guy that it just didn't match. And I was very, very unhappy. Plus, all the teacups and bookcases and things turned back into people. And like that just wasn't going to be as fun a life. And I did not see it as a happy ending. Was very let down, and now I know why over 30 years later. So thank you, Liz. And yes, Zach, Liz is completely and totally correct.
Shut that off. Sorry. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer.
Is correct. And Jennifer identifies a very interesting tension that so many people feel.
That Zach is wrong.
And we all feel that Zach is wrong, but at the end of Beauty and the Beast, it is not a happy ending. We are not happy. The movie should end when she walks down the stairs and dances with the beast, and it's tale as old as time, and then everybody stays their little charming little character, and then he's the beast, and they have like hot beast sex.
Okay, I don't remember that one from it, but you know, AI slop, get to work.
It's what the people want.
This last one from Timothy.
Happy New Year, Liz, and happy birthday from a fellow December 82 baby. I was hoping that maybe while I was 42, I would gain some insight into life, the universe, and everything, but alas. I have to say, I always assumed everybody thought that the beast was much hotter as a beast than as a man. But then I also thought that everybody was a little bit bisexual until I was in my 30s and went, oh. So what do I know?
Wow.
This is the most wistful voicemail.
Timothy, thank you so much. And I think what I appreciate the most is coming from somebody who seems to identify as man. Coming in to say Zach is wrong, and I love that. And here you need to know how wrong you are,
Liz. I think you're right that it is time that we settle this grudge match once and for all.
It's not
I think
a
it
grudge
is.
Match.
I think it is true that your petty assault on me and my my very important take. Is driving division. It is making people say I'm wrong. And how dare you?
This isn't a both sides thing. You're just wrong. You're like a flat earther.
We are here. I brought you here for the vindication of Prince Adam. Noted smoke show from Disney's Beauty and the Beast. You claimed that he was hotter as a beast. And I think that there's a couple pieces of evidence that that I think you need to sit with for a little bit. One, he has a ponytail and a Renaissance outfit.
That's
hot.
No. The Beast also has those things.
Okay. This is actually not about opinion. This is the universal universal framework for beauty that I have created for you.
This is like ponytail listening to a man argue for the earth being flat. Like this is like this is what like this how I feel right now. This is a both sides issue. This is not, and also the Beast has those things. He has
not the flat Earth.
He has the continue.
Ponytail, Renaissance fit.
Noted smoke show. Noted by whom?
Thumbs, not claws. I'm gonna tell you, thumbs. Lest we forget, opposable thumbs, pretty important in the bedroom, if you will.
Yeah, it's not the only thing that's important in the bedroom.
Exhibit A.
I know a lot of guys with opposable thumbs who. Not working for him. That's all I'm gonna say. So give me claws any day if he knows how to use them. So he doesn't have claws. He has paws.
Liz, I want to bring your attention to this image that I will also put on screen. What are those?
Okay.
What are those backwards kneecaps that he's got on him?
Zach,
you're gonna tell me.
Have you seen the feet that men have? Have you seen men's feet? And you're trying to tell me that that looks worse? At least that's how they're supposed to look.
That's how they're supposed to look, Elizabeth?
I have seen the feet of men that have looked so freaking disgusting, and they do nothing. At least the Beast is a beast, and he has an excuse. A human man has no excuse for how disgusting his feet look.
Elizabeth, he might be submissive and breedable, but he has those feet on him. You gotta on top of finding those clawing up your bed sheets. Shedding? Have we thought about shedding?
Once again,
have you thought about shedding?
Shared a home with a straight man.
Do I shed?
With their little beard trimmings everywhere.
I do. I have been in trouble a couple of times for leaving here.
Like, again, everything you're bringing up
is just a problem with men.
It's just a problem with men.
Our ponytails and our Renaissance fits. It's true. We do need to work on them. Okay, then
least a ponytail belongs on a beast. I don't think Prince Adam's pulling that ponytail off.
Okay.
He looks like the kind of guy who would have been like, don't vote for Hillary because you're voting with your vagina, which is why I vote for Bernie Sanders. Listen, I like Bernie Sanders.
This is interesting.
I'm a huge Bernie Sanders fan, but I don't like that kind of guy who thinks he's better than a Republican, but is really just like misogyny with a Bernie t-shirt on. That is the type of guy, all women, again, will back me up on this. And I don't prefer it. Just give me the Beast. Give me the raw beastiness of a beast any day. At least it's honest.
You waved away a ponytail. You thumbs down his opposable thumbs. You said shedding. Well, doesn't everybody. I give you this last one that I think will sell you. Generational wealth and an EU passport.
The Beast has the generational wealth.
You can't fly like that.
Yes, you can.
You can't fly as an animal.
Yes, you can.
What, maybe underneath
He's my emotional support, Pat. I'll put the little thing on him.
Emotionally supports me, for sure.
Yeah, emotionally supports my dick.
Hey, yo.
No, come on.
So you're this
also,
I didn't convince
I don't
you even
care.
A little bit.
No, not there's nothing there's because no. This is settled international law. This is like trying to argue with The Hague. Like you're coming in. Wait, first of all, too late. This is
when did Beauty and the Beast come out? I didn't look that up.
I was little. You weren't probably even born.
Yeah,
I must have been. Oh, my God. It came out in November of 1991. It came out. I saw it.
Were you little?
I was born in 82. It came out right before my 9th birthday.
Okay.
I saw it in the theaters. My parents took me to see it in the movie theaters. I saw it when I was 9. So
that was your 5th incarnation. Sorry, because you were around when the old magic was made, right?
I am a mature woman. I am mature. And it was settled then. We all then, as a 9-year-old, I was like, the Beast is hotter. We were all
everybody liked it. So yes. I thought this was gonna be the vindication of Prince Adam, the human boy. And as it turns out, I've been hoisted on my own petard.
It's settled law. And also there's a whole culture of thinking that Disney animated characters are hot.
Prince Adam is an animated character.
No, Disney animated animals are hot.
That's fair.
Disney animated animals.
What are the hottest Disney animals?
Thank you so much for asking me personally. Who I think the hottest Disney animated animals are. First of all,
Everyone has been in the same way that everyone knew that the Beast was the hottest of the two. Everyone knew that they're only tuning into the show to know like what your sexual predilections for anime animals are.
It's not anime, first of all. It's Disney. It's very different.
Come at me, weebs.
Well, this one is just universally true. We all agree on this one. Robin from Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
That fox is hot.
Foxy.
That fox.
The way smolder.
Hot. Oh, my. And he robs the rich to feed the poor.
He has meaningful male relationships that are based on like economic relationships and class consciousness.
My God.
Right? Yeah. I think. We stand a short king. I think he is canonically short, right?
Nobody cares. it doesn't matter if you're short. If you have male relationships and you're robbing the rich to feed the poor.
It's not that hard.
It's not that hard.
Go rob the rich.
Go rob the rich.
Private property is theft. Get to work.
Yeah, let's go. It's not that hard. Dodger from Oliver and Company. He's that kind of like mangy mutt that wears the sunglasses.
Do you have a photo?
Wow, I'm so glad you asked me.
You gotta pull up your incognito window on Chrome.
And once again, he's a streetwise rogue.
I'm so sorry. This is your champion.
Look at him. Look at him.
Yeah, that dog fucks.
Yeah, he fucks.
That dog fucks. Damn.
Much like the tramp from Lady and the Tramp.
He's a tramp.
And I love him.
And
I wish that I could travel his way. I don't want to sleep on the women.
Okay. Yeah.
Miss Bianca from The Rescuers. Classy. She has the little pillbox cap. She's a cute little mouse.
I'm so sorry. It's been a long time since I've watched The Rescuers. I have seen The Rescuers Down Under, though. Really fabulous.
Look at her. Isn't Eva Gabor does her voice?
Sorry, this serving Audrey Hepburn realness.
She's got that classic old movie vibe. I love her.
She's fine. She got them fine whiskers.
If we're also talking about The Rescuers, and then her counterpart Bernard from The Rescuers is very handsome.
These are literal mice. I like that. So I think these conversations get weird when they're anthropomorphized animals. I like that this is just like a mouse with eyelashes.
I don't think it's weird at all. Simba from The Lion King. I mean, he's a little too Glenn Powell for me, but Nala from The Lion King. Whoa.
What a woman.
They did not have to make that lion that hot.
What a woman. They really Lola bunnied that Nala is her name?
Nala. So there's just like these are all canonically hot animals. From Disney movies
that are so much hotter than.
Yes. Yes.
And Adam. Justice for Prince Adam.
I'm not even bringing Zootopia in here because Zootopia, there's one scene in Zootopia where there's this like really hot tiger in it. And if you hold on.
Yeah, pass. I will not have any opinions about the movie Zootopia on the internet. Extant on the internet. Refuse, cancel, click out of that screen.
Look at this guy. And this is like a thing. Like, this is from a Reddit post that says, I feel like not enough people are talking about the bunny doesn't notice how hot this tiger is. Like, look at this.
Yeah, he's like a scientist.
Look at, he's hot. He's reading his little iPad.
He has really kind eyes.
He has kind eyes, and he's got that shirt that's tight over his tiger biceps.
You need to throw some water on it, dog. It's like 10 a.m.
I haven't gone on a date in a long time.
Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/LizLens is the home of Dingus of the Week, a Men Yell at Me production. Love or hate what you heard. Help us keep it coming. And here's what you can do to help out by not reporting us to the internet police.
To ASPCA.
One, like and subscribe over on our YouTube. Two, rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps out a ton as we're trying to grow this show. Three, share an episode with a friend. I know you got one. I know you got one. Share it with them. Four, and last, become a patron at just $5 a month. You can help us keep the show rolling each week. Have a dingus of your own and want us to talk about it. Go to memo.fm/dingus. Send in your voicemails. We want to hear about that, about Steve, that guy from the internet.
Memo.fm/dingus. Please send us your memos. I keep getting messages that these are people's favorite parts of the podcast, so please keep giving us your dinguses, dingai, if you will. It's a made-up word. We can pluralize it however we want. Sure. Thank you to assistant editor Isabella Rosario, to the editor who must remain anonymous, and then to Laura Benitez and the Heartache for our catchy little song. Dingus of the week, lost your paddle up Ship Creek. You're not smart.
And now let's see our dingus.